Without further ado, let's get on with our program. We're going to go to paper one, and we're going to hear from Rita and Anuj for paper one. So over to you, Rita and Anuj.
Thanks, Anne. I'll be presenting. So can everybody see the slide?
Yes.
Okay, great. So good morning, everyone. So I'll present agenda paper one, which provides background on our research for common reporting practice analysis. So last year, we started our research on extensions created by foreign private issuers in their primary financial statements for 2018. In order to support high quality tagging, the aim of this research was to find improvements to the IFRS taxonomy. These improvements could be new common reporting practice, new implementation guidance, improved data modeling, new or amended labels, and new or amended calculation presentation relationships. Moving to next slide, you can see the project timeline, which illustrates how we have progressed with our research. The project timeline also shows our next steps. So after we receive your feedback on our findings and proposals today, we plan to publish the proposed taxonomy update during last quarter of 2020 and incorporate final changes in the annual IFRS taxonomy in 2021. So we have discussed our research on common reporting practice in the last two face-to-face meeting. I'll provide you with a brief summary of what we have discussed so far. So during our first face-to-face meeting, ITCG members supported our research because they viewed it as an important work for improving the IFRS taxonomy. After our discussion, we divided our research into two phases. Phase one, where we carried out analysis using top-down approach, and phase two, where we carried out analysis using bottom-up approach, as well as considered external stakeholders' feedback. So during our recent face-to-face ITCG meeting in January 2020, we discussed our findings from phase one. So these findings related to extension line items that caused fundamental calculation relationship to break and use of extension access used by foreign private issuers. You can find proposed new elements and improvements relating to these two matters in agenda paper two of January 2020 ITCG meeting. So the aim of today's meeting is to seek your feedback on phase two findings and proposals, which are a result of bottom-up approach analysis and external stakeholders' feedback. And we'll also discuss other improvements to the IFRS taxonomy in order to solve common tagging errors. So the next two slides provide data that we have used during our research. So slide seven, as you can see, illustrates number of extensions that were created in the primary financial statements by FPIs. As we can see, most were created in the statement of cash flows and least were created in the statement of changes in equity. Whereas this slide illustrates total extension line items that were created by different industries. We found that banks and insurance have highest average number of extensions rate. Currently, we are carrying out a detailed extension analysis on financial sector. The findings and proposals of this research will be discussed at a future ITCG meeting. During our phase two research, we did not find many common reporting practice elements because most of the extension did not meet our criteria. So our criteria is that at least 10% of companies from our sample should create extension to be reported as a common reporting practice element. The criteria can be found in Appendix A. We also found that most extensions fell under one of the following categories shown in the table. We view that these extensions in these categories could be anchored based on understanding of accounting meaning. So this slide lists our proposal from phase two findings. We are proposing few new common reporting practice elements for the primary financial statements. This can be found in Appendix A of this paper. We are not planning to discuss this in detail because they are relatively straightforward. But if you have any comments or questions, please feel free to raise them. Other proposals will be discussed in the next three agenda papers. These discussions are more detailed because of its complexity. During our research, we also came across few tagging errors. For example, some errors were caused due to label matching. As a result, we also proposed some taxonomy improvements to support consistent tagging. Such improvements include label changes, new calculation, or a new presentation. You can find most of these improvements in Appendix B of this paper, and few will be discussed in Agenda Paper 1C. Finally, questions for the ITCG members are, do you have any comments on the proposed improvements described in Appendix A and B? And do you have any other questions that you'd like to raise on research? Thank you.
I had a couple of just quick questions, I think. One was around the new pieces on contract assets and contract liabilities and the movements thereon in the, I think it was in the cash flow statement. And I wondered whether those were effectively superseding other existing tags for movements in accrued income and deferred income, and whether those, if they do already exist, those need to be sort of tidied up in light of IFRS 15 now coming out. That was one quick one. And then the other one was on provisions, where I think there was a suggestion that there would be a change to the label for provisions to make clear that it includes the provisions for employee benefits. And I guess I noted that that is a bit different to, I guess, how I might have thought of it in terms of IAS 37 provisions, where IAS 37 sort of says, scope-wise, this doesn't include provisions for employee benefits. I wondered whether it was a conscious decision to now try and create a caption for both provisions within scope of 37 and IAS 9.
Okay, I'll try. I think, Roland, that these are really good questions, and we definitely need to do some additional research. Yeah. So I think with regarding contract assets and contract liability, we did some research in that, but we felt at this moment in time there was some inconsistency in reporting, and we couldn't immediately establish the relationship with contract assets and contract liabilities due to the variety in practice. I remember us discussing it, but I can't remember all the details of it, so we definitely have to come back. And regarding the provisions for employee benefits, so I think it was just within the taxonomy, we will have now items that say, okay, provisions excluding employee benefit and the provisions for employee benefits would make it very clear how the respective element has to be used. Does that answer at least your second question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, I'm back in the meeting. Sorry, I got lost there somewhere across the ocean. I'm not sure who's scheduled next to speak because I lost all the chat room when I came back in. Can you just sign in again if you'd like to speak, please? Just go into the chat room, put your name in so I can call on you.
I think, and I just see here a question of Ashok Patel, yeah?
Okay,
I don't know if
yeah.
You can see that, yeah? So Ashok,
I can see.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure, thank you. Have I got permission to say or?
Yes, Ashok, please. Ashok, please speak if you wish. I think your point is that it was 2018 filings, and you think it, maybe it's different for 2019 filings?
Indeed. So,
if you're not, excuse me, if you're not speaking, please mute your microphone.
Okay.
If you're not speaking,
Basically,
If you're
sorry,
not,
what I want to
no, Ashok, wait, Ashok. If you're not speaking, could you mute your microphone, please? I've got noise on the line. Thank you. Right, Ashok, over to you.
Okay, great. Well, the point I wish to make, first of all, is a great research, a lot of surprises. And I'm just thinking that 2018 filing may be outdated because people now got a lot of learning curve. They learn about IFRS taxonomy. So I think 19 filing and probably 20 filing will be more relevant. And for rest of the thing, mm-hmm. I would be very happy to provide you whole extension rate filed by my company of 2020. So that may be helpful. So thank you. That's the only point I wish to make.
Okay, thanks for that offer, Ashok, and Pete, staff will follow up. Dirk, do you want to come in?
Yeah, thank you. So maybe just some comments. So first of all, thank you very much for the research. If we go back to slide 8, yeah, just if we go over these industry groups, I think this is quite interesting if you look on this, because I mean, very often we of course expected that in the financial industry we have a lot of extension rate, but what we can see also that we see a lot of in the transportation, in the manufacturing, and the extractive activities. So this is in line with the research we have done on that. But of course, it would be interesting whether there are any intention to look into these kind of industry. I know it's first that the banking industry want to start. However, I think this is a general surprise, I think, for the whole community, why you have in the manufacturing industry now the highest extension rates. So that would be actually my first question was like the outlook of this analysis. And then my second question is really, as you highlighted, you looked into the extension, but actually you didn't came up, if I understood this correctly, came up with really new common practice elements. This was, I would say, a surprise from my side personally, because I would have expected if you have now so many extension rates in specific industry, at least that there might be more candidates. So the question was, could you maybe more make a comment, what kind of ratios or what was the reason why actually specifically, I mean, I know the rules, but of course it would be interesting to get a comment why you think there are not so many candidates for common practice elements. So maybe the population is still too small, but at least it would be interesting to get a feedback on that. So that were the two questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Doug, and this is Rita here again. So I think to some extent we were surprised as well, Doug, because when we looked at the number of extensions, we were thinking we are going to discover much more commonality. But so when we started diving into deeper, we really discovered, like Anuj already said, that a lot of these extensions really were huge subtotals or disaggregations or combinations. Yeah. And in fact, we tried where before our common reporting practice is, look, so many companies have to report a particular element in a particular industry. In fact, we really narrowed it even a little bit more down and said, look, if a company has a particular transaction, then we are going to see if companies that have that particular transaction, it's common to report something around that. For instance, we have added items now for warrants. We only edited items for warrants because we started really deep diving. Let's try to find the companies that have warrants. So to some extent, it was surprising for us as well. But the positive news of it is really that a lot of these extensions really were disaggregations and aggregations. And that was a little bit reassuring because we knew that through anchoring, at least there will still be available for some type of automated consumption and of some time of investor usage. Yeah.
Thanks, Rita. Dirk, thanks for those comments. Christine, over to you.
Oh, it's just a quick question. I suspect that, whether or not the extensions may be higher, significantly higher in the footnotes. And I guess time will tell when you guys dig into the footnotes. But I suspect that that's where the bulk of the extensions are.
I think I could concur with that on Christine, because we have also done the common reporting practice project on IS90 on WeBenefit, and we felt we had many more improvements. When we started looking at earnings per share, we also are suggesting many more improvements. So I think without your hypothesis, I assume will be correct.
Okay, thanks, Rita. Dasuki, over to you.
Yes, my question is, do you have any plan to feedback this project to preparers individually? Because many preparers want to know how to map the IFRS taxonomy to their account, so the disclosure statement. So I think it's very useful for them.
What we are planning to do is to take all our proposals to the IFRS Taxonomy Review Panel, which is a panel of internal board that consists of some board members. Once they have reviewed all the proposals, we will then plan a public document, which we call the Proposed Taxonomy Update. And we will communicate to our normal channels, which also includes preparers, that this document is available. In that document, we list our proposals and we provide some additional explanations as well. This is what we envisage at this moment in time.
Sorry, it's Rachel Lovely here, but in response to your direct question, we have no plans to communicate directly with preparers the findings of our results. It wouldn't be appropriate for us to do that.
Thanks, Rachel. John Turner.
Thanks very much, Anne. Just a sort of a methodological point. Clearly, there is some perspectives within the analysis that a certain proportion of the extensions are as a result of incorrect tag choice. overall and to drive down the number of extensions overall. So I was just wondering whether that's something that you've considered.
Anuj or Rita, would you like to take that question?
So as far as Rachel, add if I misinterpret anything, but I think we are just looking at providing extension and to improve quality of data through new label changes and implementation guides, but we have not looked at how these improvements could result into reduction in extensions, but we hope that these improvements will allow preparers or the targets to have better understanding of how to use elements.
Thank you, Anuj. It's Rachel here again. John, could I just understand your question a little bit better? You were asking there whether we were identifying separately the those that were incorrect, tags as part of our extension analysis. Is that what you were suggesting? Sorry, I didn't fully understand.
Yeah. So if in effect the headline is for manufacturing, there's X percent in this review of extensions. Of those extensions, in the view of the team, half of them are inaccurate because they've chosen the wrong tag. There is a valid tag sitting in the IFRS taxonomy that it appears could have chosen. And a certain other proportion of those are true extensions, and a certain other proportion of those are candidates for clarification and common practice activities. Then that would provide some signals to issuers and their vendors about what to improve, because it's in the interest of everybody, issuers and users, for the incorrect extensions to be reduced, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, no, I do. Thank you for that clarification. I think that potentially sounds like quite a good idea to try and highlight the difference between those different types of real extensions versus things that are just plain errors. So, yeah, that's something we can look into.